Smetters.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
You had an okay week?
No.
What's wrong?
It was shitty. Here you go.
Awesome.
Anywho.
So anything fun or good?
No, but I know I always talk about the weather, I guess because I'm old. But literally earlier in the week, it was negative like 3 degrees. And then yesterday it was 66.
I don't like this humid thing. It makes like everything slippery and gross and grimy. And I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like the weather just was completely bipolar this week. Like it was one extreme to another. It was crazy.
It really was. And also, you've been having issues with that knee. I wonder if the weather's been doing that to your knee.
No, it's...
That's just your knee.
I think something's torn.
Just broken.
I'm broke.
Well, you had sent me something earlier, and I thought it was so interesting because I wanted to do a story on it. But there's just not enough information for me to do a story on it.
What?
About the hellhound thing you sent me.
That was pretty cool.
It was crazy. They found, they were at a, you know, burial site, and they found this huge hellhound. It was 7 feet long, and it would have weighed 200 pounds. And
are you serious right now?
Apparently, like, the local mythology about the hellhound was, because it was buried in front of a monastery.
Right.
And the mythology was that everybody, the hellhound was around the town and it was loose and everybody ran to the church to hide. Well, the hellhound went in the church and killed everybody, and on its way out, it killed an old man and a little boy. Somehow they ended up killing it, but in the monastery to this day, you can see the claw marks in the wood.
Speaking of, have you ever seen a devil owl?
A what now?
A devil owl.
Oh.
Look.
That's really scary.
His red eyes.
It's like a black owl with red eyes, y'all.
Yeah.
That's weird.
His nickname, the devil owl.
That's crazy. So, y'all, Troy's got me on a new show. We've been trying to finish up Supernatural. And then he started watching Shameless again. And I forgot how good that show is. So, if y'all have not seen Shameless, you must watch it. It is so good. It's just one of those shows that, like, you don't really have to think about anything. You can just watch it and just kind of zone out a little bit. And that's kind of what I've needed here lately, is to just zone out about things. So, I love this show so much. Anyway, so we were getting this out a little bit late. We recorded once, and Riggins decided to cry
like he's doing now,
the whole entire time. And once we hit record again, he started crying again. It's like he knows, y'all. Do y'all have animals that do that?
Yes.
So anyway, you already know what we're doing tonight.
Yeah. I'll behave this time.
No, that was, I mean, I hate that we don't have your first reaction to this, but, we are doing legendary mean girls tonight, which are vengeful women spirits, I guess.
Oh, hold on. There is one other thing happened.
What?
You know how AI is a big thing, right?
Yes.
Well, you heard about or saw the sexually explicit Taylor Swift pictures going around. She's went crying to Congress. And they've now said that they're going to have to do something. Like, normal people have been living with this issue for how long? But Taylor Swift cries about it, and now it's a Congress issue? Like, seriously, come on.
That's funny.
Like, what is she... I mean, she should hope for something to be changed about her. She has... Never mind.
If you get those Swifties after us, we'll die. because they're everywhere.
Well, I'm just saying.
We
What's
love you.
What's your favorite football team?
Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team. We love you, Taylor Swift. But yes, we're doing Mean Girls tonight. So, let's get this party started. Will you put him outside?
I'll put you outside. I'll
put you outside.
I'll try.
I'm going to start with a different one because I would really like your reaction.
Well, I've already got the other reaction. It's not going to happen the same.
Okay, I'm still starting with a different one. This one's a little bit longer. So, our first mean girl of the night is La Llorona. According to Mexican legend, La Llorona is the ghost of a mother who killed her children. She causes grave misfortune to all near her. Patricio Lujan was a young boy in New Mexico in the 1930s when a normal day with his family in Santa Fe was interrupted by the sight of a strange woman near their property. The family watched in curious silence as the tall, thin woman dressed in all white crossed the road near their house without a word and headed for a nearby creek. It wasn't until she got to the water that the family realized something was really wrong. As Lujan tells it, quote, "She just seemed to glide as if having no legs before disappearing. After reappearing at a distance far too quickly for any normal woman to have traversed, she disappeared again for good without leaving a single footprint behind." Lujan was disturbed but knew exactly who the woman had been. It was La Llorona. The legend of La Llorona translates to the Weeping Woman and is popular throughout the southwestern United States and Mexico. The tale has various retellings and origins, but La Llorona is always described as a willowy, white figure who appears near the water wailing for her children. Mentions of La Llorona can be traced back over four centuries, although the origins of the tale have been lost to time. She has been connected to the Aztecs as one of 10 omens predicting the conquest of Mexico or as a fearsome goddess. One such goddess, known as the Snake Woman, who has been described as a savage beast and an evil omen. She wears white, walks about at night, and constantly cries. Another goddess, the Jaded Skirted One, who oversaw the waters and was greatly feared because she allegedly would drown people. In order to honor her, the Aztecs would sacrifice children. An entirely different origin story coincides with the arrival of the Spanish in America back in the 16th century. According to this version of the tale, La Llorona was actually La Malinche, a native woman who served as an interpreter, guide, and later a mistress to Hernan Cortez. During his conquest of Mexico, the conquistador left her after she gave birth and instead married a Spanish woman. Despised now by her own people, it is said that La Malinche murdered Cortez's spawn in vengeance. There is no evidence that the historic La Malinche, who did in fact exist, killed her children or was exiled by her people. However, it is possible that the Europeans did bring the seeds of the legend of La Llorona from their homeland. The legend of a vengeful mother who slays her own offspring can be traced all the way back to Medea of Greek mythology, who killed her sons after being betrayed by her husband Jason. The ghostly wails of a woman warning of impending death also share similarities with the Irish banshees. English parents have long used the tale of Jenny Greenteeth, who drags children down into a watery grave to keep adventurous children away from water where they might stumble in. Now, there's different versions of La Llorona. The most popular version of the tale features a stunning young peasant woman named Maria who married a wealthy man. The couple lived happily for a time and had two children together before Maria's husband lost interest. One day, while walking by the river with her two children, Maria caught sight of her husband riding by in his carriage, accompanied by a pretty young lady. In a fit of rage, Maria flung her two children into the river and drowned them both. When her anger subsided and she realized what she had done, she succumbed to such profound grief that she spent the rest of her days wailing by the river in search of her children. In another version of the story, Maria cast herself into the river immediately after her children. In yet others, Maria was a vain woman who spent her nights reveling in town instead of tending to her children. After one drunken evening, she returned home to find them both drowned. She was cursed for her neglectfulness to search for them in her afterlife. The constants of the legend are always the dead children and a wailing woman, either as a human or ghost. La Llorona is often spotted in white, crying for her children or mis hijos near running water. By some traditions, the ghost of La Llorona is feared. She is said to be vengeful and sees others' children to drown in place of her own. By other traditions, she is a warning, and those who hear her wails will soon face death themselves. Sometimes, she is seen as a disciplinary figure and appears to children who are unkind to their parents. Now, you remember The Curse of La Llorona, that movie that we watched? It was kind of part of the Conjuring universe, but kind of not. We watched it like once. It wasn't that great.
No.
You don't remember. I mean, y'all, we watched it once and I was good after that. But yeah, if you get a chance, watch that movie. It is entertaining. And also Supernatural, the very first episode we watched was about La Llorona.
La Llorona.
Perfect. Wrong I thing. Love that. I bet if you saw her and you sang her that song, she would not kill you.
I'm struggling tonight.
What is wrong with you?
I'm broke.
Okay.
I'm broken.
So, next we go to Troy's favorite story. The legend of Kuchisake Onna. Anything?
You know, no. You told me to be quiet.
No, I'm loving this.
You know that shit writes itself, right?
Yes.
Like, even when you start getting further into it.
Yeah. Okay. Y'all, it's fun watching him squirm because I got onto him the last time. Because for some reason, the name Kuchisake
did not
sit right with him.
Well, and then you pull out this. All right, just go on into it. You'll see what I was laughing about earlier.
A man gets startled by a voice asking him, "Do you think I'm beautiful?" Already?
Just thinking about it.
Okay. The man turns around and notices a woman behind him. He collects himself and asks her, "What is she doing in his house?" Oh, he did ask her. I didn't think he asked her. I figured he just answered her because I was like, pause. I'd be like, why are you in my house?
Well, I kind of distracted you.
It's fine. You always distract me. The woman asks again, "Do you think I'm beautiful?" The man studies the woman for a moment and notices she has long black hair, pale skin, and what appears to be an attractive face. He delightfully answers the woman, "Yes, I think you're beautiful." The woman's eyes squint as from a smile. She removes her mask and reveals a mutilated face. Her mouth is slit from ear to ear. You think it's funny that Kuchisake has a big slit? Is that what you're laughing at? Nothing?
Leave me alone.
Nothing? Okay. She asks the man, "What about now?" The man notices the woman is brandishing a knife and now, in full panic, tells her, "Yes, yes, I think you're beautiful." The woman closes the distance in a split second and cuts the man's mouth from ear to ear, leaving him mutilated on the floor with a smile now resembling hers. Kuchisake Sake Ona is an onryu, a Japanese vengeful spirit. Her name means slit-mouthed woman. She partially covers her face with a mask and carries a sharp object. She is often described as having long black hair and pale skin. She is considered very beautiful until she removes her mask and reveals her mouth that's been split from ear to ear. So basically, y'all, she has like a Glasgow smile, kind of like the Joker. And according to legend, she will ask her potential victim if they think she's beautiful. And if the answer is no, she will kill them on the spot. But if the answer is yes, she'll remove her mask and then she'll ask them again if they still think she is beautiful. And if the answer is no, she will kill them. And if the answer is yes, she'll slit their mouth from ear to ear to resemble her own mutilated face. So, I'm going to stop. Like, honestly, though, if a stranger came up to you and was like, do you think I'm beautiful? Would you honestly say no?
It depends on where it was at.
I mean, just randomly walking down the street.
My response would normally be, I think better.
Okay. So, I mean, that might have you saved if you ever saw a Kuchisake. Okay.
I don't ever see one. So, I doubt I ever will.
So, who is Kuchisake? If legend is to be believed, she was the wife of a samurai that grew lonely because her husband was always away. What? I need to hear what's going on over here.
Continue.
Okay.
Kuchi was lonely.
There it is, y'all. There it is. She began having affairs with men around the town, and as rumors grew...
That Kuchi got beat up.
Fuck. Oh my god. Yes, Kuchi got beat up. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
It was lonely.
He was furious, and he sliced the corners of her mouth from ear to ear as punishment, and in hope no man would ever want anything to do with her coochie again.
Wow. You went there.
I did go there. After her death, the woman returned as a vengeful spirit, an onryu. In some versions of the legend, her mouth was mutilated during a medical or dental procedure or by another woman who was jealous of her beauty. The way she covers her mouth also varies, from a hand fan or a handkerchief to a cloth mask or a surgical mask. Her mouth may or may not be filled with sharp teeth, but she will always carry a sharp instrument with her that ranges from a pair of scissors to a knife, a machete, or even a scythe. Now, how would one survive an encounter with Kuchisake? In some variations of the legend, the Kuchisake will leave the victim alone if they answer yes to both her questions, while in other versions, she will return later that night and kill them while they're asleep. Another tactic includes telling her that she looks average rather than beautiful, and this gives the person enough time to run away. She's probably in shock, like, because nobody would say that besides Troy. So, so that gives them time to run away. Other variations to distract her that may or may not work includes giving her some money or candy, hard candy. Gross. Better hand out some Snickers bars or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What?
You're talking about the dick vein candy bars, right? For Miss Coochie.
Hand that coochie some veiny candy bars. Okay. And after you give her the money or the hard candy, you say the word pomade 3 times. Some people say that the Kuchisake Onna legend has roots in Japan's Edo period, 17th to the 19th century, while others believe it only dates back as 1979. During 1979, the legend was reported many times in newspapers and news magazines. The rumor of the Kuchisake Onna spread through Japan, which even led members of parent teachers association groups to accompany young children home from school. So, that is the story of Kuchisake.
Hmm.
Yes. Okay, moving right along.
Yep, move right along.
Our next mean girl. I don't like this one at all.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
She's freaky.
I just don't like it. Okay. Our next mean girl on the list is the Serbian dancing lady. And y'all, if you go on TikTok or Instagram, all you have to do is type in the dancing lady and she will pop up. These videos creep me out. What? Okay.
He thinks there's food over there.
Well, also, he started this at the same mean girl.
Maybe he didn't like
this. Last time, he does not like this mean girl. Because this is why we had to stop recording, because he started crying the last time we started on her story. And now he's starting to cry again. Do y'all hear that? That poor, pitiful puppy. He's not. He's a big, huge boxer that just wants a sandwich sitting on the table right now.
No, Riggins.
You had dinner.
Calm down.
You're fine. Oof. Love you so much. Okay. In 2019, a video depicting a Serbian lady dancing in a peculiar manner surfaced on TikTok, unraveling the mystery that had taken place on September 26th of 1998. However, the details of this event remain shrouded in uncertainty, leaving much to the imagination of the viewers. While two community blog users, Nico and Solomon, have shared their accounts of encountering the Serbian lady, the authenticity of their claims is difficult to verify due to the nature of the platform. Nico's account describes a chilling encounter with the lady while walking with his mother. As they noticed a figure dancing in the distance, the lady suddenly charged towards them, uttering profanities and proclaiming herself to be the ambassador of death. She insisted that Nico's mother's life was required for an ancient ritual to resurrect the king of Serbia. Nico was mesmerized by the lady's otherworldly movements, which seemed to engage every muscle in her body. Solomon, intrigued by Nico's description, embarked on his own investigation. Armed with a camera, he ventured out into the streets of Serbia and unexpectedly came face to face with the Serbian lady. She was dancing in the same peculiar manner. Upon realizing his presence, she emitted a piercing shriek, exclaiming, quote, "Your mother's soul is mine." Frightened, Solomon promptly sought refuge in his hotel room. And according to some recent reports, since the woman was first spotted, the woman has been apprehended due to her disturbing behavior. But some others have stated that the woman had eluded arrest because the authorities had a hard time locating her. Her name has caused a frenzy among online audiences, triggering a surge in searches for additional information. The reasons behind the fear instilled by the Serbian lady remain ambiguous. It is possible that this myth varies greatly, with no definitive explanations to substantiate people's apprehension. Fear of mythical or supernatural entities often arise from the association with the unknown, potential harm, or cultural beliefs. Stories and legends have a knack for tapping into our primal fears, and the fear of the unknown is a common human experience. Now, While the Serbian dancing lady has garnered attention on TikTok, the focus has largely been on the frightful myths surrounding her rather than confirming her existence. She continues to be an enigma to the majority, with no conclusive evidence to support the claims made about her. Nevertheless, terrified TikTok users persist in their quest to validate these rumors. Known as the Dancing Shadow, the Serbian lady myth captivates audience due to its mysterious and eerie nature. The origin of the myth is the story of a woman who fell in love with a man from a different village and is faced with family opposition due to their traditional beliefs. At some point in the story, the woman passes away and her spirit is forced to roam around the countryside by night, singing and dancing to a mournful tomb. It is believed that encountering her dancing shadow is a harbinger of impending death or misfortune. Passed down through generations, this legend has inspired various cultural and artistic expressions in Serbia, including music, literature, and film. Authorities are diligently investigating the matter, closely monitoring the ongoing activities surrounding the Serbian dancing lady. They have confirmed that the video was filmed in Belgrade, Serbia. Moreover, individuals who claim to have encountered the lady portrayed in the video have reportedly been subjected to threats since 2019. The subject has ignited passionate debates on social media platforms with users from across the globe engaging in discussions about the existence of the mythical figure. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen the video, but if you do look it up to watch it, because I never noticed this, look across the street from her, because it shows her shadow, and the shadow is dancing, obviously it's dancing too, but it doesn't look like her. So pull that video up tonight and take a look at it, because did you ever notice the shadow until I showed it to you?
No.
Because I showed it to you the other day when I was working on this and got you to look at it. So, yeah. Pull that video up and see what you think.
You ever seen that?
No. Send that to me. I'll post it. Okay. Moving right along.
Moving right along.
Okay. Next, our fourth main girl. We are headed to Malaysia. That sounded so country. One of the more popular ghosts in Malaysian folklore, a Sundel Bolong, is a spirit of a beautiful woman who died while she was pregnant and then gave birth to her child while in her grave. You know, that was a fairly common thing back in the old times.
Really?
Yeah, they would have grave birth, and they would, you know, if they were ever dug up, they would find a baby. Oh. Yeah. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Okay. So where was I? She died while she was pregnant and then gave birth to her child while in her grave. Some versions say she died while giving birth. The ghost wanders the earth dressed in a flowing white nightgown with long black hair draped down to her bottom, which serves to cover up the hole in her back where her baby came out. Her main prey is men, and it is said to be very difficult to resist her charms. Her name is said to mean, okay, y'all, this is what her name means. I would never say this. Prostitute with a hole in her. Wait a minute.
Keep
on. You're not saying anything?
Nope.
Really?
Keeping it quiet.
Okay.
Unlike our dog.
Unlike Riggins. Which should give you an idea of her method of seduction. Once the Sundel Bolong lures a man away, she castrates him, usually leaving him alive to suffer. Over time, the story of her origins has evolved to include a violent assault as the reason for her pregnancy. Some versions have her commit suicide because of the resulting pregnancy, with a transformation into a Sundel Bolong as a type of curse. Okay.
Okay.
So, next we have the Churel. Known elsewhere as a Chudel, this is a ghost in the folklore of India, especially in northern India, which is renowned for its scream, usually taking the form of a woman. A Churel is said to be created when a pregnant woman dies during the festival of Diwali. Anything?
What?
Nope. No office references? Okay. What is wrong with you tonight?
You got on to me, so I'm being good.
I got on to you about what? The other one. About Kuchi Sake. Okay. When a pregnant woman dies during the festival of Diwali, which is the Hindu festival of light. Some variations say it occurs when a woman dies during childbirth. Either way, they return to the land of the living as a vampire-like creature, bent on revenge because of their bitterness due to their unborn child's death. Often found in the wilderness, a Churel has feet which are flipped 180 degrees, allowing her to walk backwards while she mesmerizes the victim with her eyes. That is creepy. So her feet are backwards, and she's still watching you while she's walking. That's crazy. If her gaze is not shunned, usually through a cloth or blanket over one's eyes, she will lead the victim to a secluded location and drain them of their blood. A Churel's desired victim is often her own family, for she is angry at not being properly cared for during the pregnancy. And if the body is buried with meticulous care and respect, the Churel's bloodlust might also be sated. Now, we already talked about Kuchi Sake every time. But this is specifically about the Onryo. It's a malevolent ghost which usually returns to the land of the living to right the wrongs it experienced in past lives. Normally, they are women, although male Onryo are not unheard of. Tormenting their former lovers and families brings the spirits great pleasure, and they often drive the living to commit suicide. Onryo usually wait a few days, even a month in some cases, before starting their attacks on their relatives, because they want to see who is mournful and who isn't. An Onryo is very similar to a Goryo. What?
What?
A Goryo.
Goryo.
Okay. Which is another type of ghost in Japanese folklore, which returns to attack the living. Although a Goryo is usually a person who comes from a noble or aristocratic family and usually dies a martyr's death. Conversely, Onryo are often created through some sort of trauma, like abuse from a husband, but their rage is usually non-specific, meaning they'll attack family members who had nothing to do with their deaths. In fact, sometimes the murderer won't even be punished. Ooh.
Spooky.
Okay. Let's see. Next one is in Thailand, the Phi Thai Hong.
What? Love you long time.
In Thailand, people who suffer excessively cruel deaths or were left unburied or without the proper funerary rites turn into ghosts known as Phi Thai Hongs. A pregnant woman is said to be the most powerful version of this ghost, as she has a strength of 2 thanks to her unborn child. Places of extreme violence, such as a terroristic attack or a natural disaster, are said to be strong breeding grounds for Phi Thai Hongs, as they often involve young people whose time hasn't come. Shrines are often built in these places as a way to persuade the ghosts to leave. Usually, the Phi Thai Hong stays near the place of its death, waiting for another living person to come by. If possible, the ghost will try and kill the unlucky mortal, hoping that they will take its place and free it from its spiritual bondage. The Mangrasat, I'm sorry, I know I did not say that right. The Judgments of King Mangri is a collection of laws laid down in the 14th century which go into detail about murder. When someone murdered another person, especially a child, they were often forced to keep the corpse in their house for a predetermined amount of time. This was an effort to create a Fi Tai Hong, which would then torment the murderer.
Wow.
Wouldn't a murderer be in jail, though?
No, like, they made them stay in there and leave the corpse with them so the child could take the form of that person. Oh. So, could they, like, come out of the house and be like, I'm the kid, you know?
Yes.
Like, could they do that?
Inquiring minds want
to
know.
I would really like to know. Okay. Next, we have the Green Lady. Known in areas as a Glaistig, the Green Lady is a spirit of the water with the top half of a woman and the bottom half of a goat. Kind of like a satyr. Her human side is gray-skinned with long, flowing blonde hair that covers most of her body. In addition, she often tries to hide her animal side with her namesake green robe. Able to shapeshift, the Green Lady often takes on a number of roles depending on the intent of the storyteller. Some of the time, she can be mischievous, throwing pebbles at passersby, or leading people down the wrong trail, only to laugh at their misfortune when they realize they're lost. Her origins are many, with one of the more common ones being that she was a noble woman who was murdered by one of her servants and stuffed into a chimney. It is this version which leads itself to the tales of the Green Lady luring men to their deaths with her singing. Appeasing her is easy, as she is a sucker for milk due to the fact that she is commonly seen as a guardian over cattle. Okay. Now, next we have La Siginaba. That sounds right. Originally known as Sihuehuet, which means beautiful woman, was said to have had a love affair with the son of the Aztec god Tlaloc. I'm so sorry I butchered that. I'm sorry, you guys. However, she was a terrible mother. She would leave her son alone so she could meet with her... with her godly lover. Once Lalak found out about this, he cursed her, making it so that she appeared gorgeous from far away but was hideous up close. She took the name La Siguanaba, which means horrible woman, and was also condemned to wander through the wilderness looking for men to trap. In El Salvador, she is said to wash her clothes in the river, forced to spend the rest of the time looking for her son, who is granted immortality. Men who claim to bed a lot of women who are adulterers are often the target of La Siguanaba's wrath, and she can be seen bathing in the moonlight. Quite the attractive sight in the jungle. Usually, the unlucky man dies of fright, but if not, they will find themselves lost in the wilderness. Once in a while, she will also appear to children as their mothers, luring them away to their deaths. And the best way to defend against La Siguanaba is to bite a piece of metal or a cross and say a prayer to God. Next, we have the Chindi. Within the Navajo belief system, there resides a special type of spirit known as a Chindi. Normally, the byproduct of violence, whether accidental or during warfare, a chindi is made up of everything that was bad about the person who died. Failing to properly honor the burial of a person can also bring about a chindi, as well as even mentioning the deceased's name, which is why the Navajo don't speak of their dead. Sometimes, the chindi would even terrorize an entire family for decades, as in the case of the Long Salt family, who were said to have been tormented for over 100 years. The house or possessions of a dead person are the most likely places to find a chindi, which is why they are often isolated or destroyed outright. Because of this, the Navajo try and have deaths take place outside so the house doesn't become haunted. Medicine men are said to be able to take place or said to be able to place a curse on people who wrong them, and the afflicted become tormented by a chindi. In addition, the Navajo believe a disease known as ghost sickness will arrive from contact with one of these spirits. Remember on Supernatural, the ghost sickness? The person was being haunted? That's when Dean was scared of that cat.
Yeah.
Okay. Two more. Funayore. The spirits of those who died at sea, the Funayore, are commonplace in Japanese folklore, and their name literally translates as ship ghost. They are said to possess supernatural powers with the ability to make any number of ghostly ships appear. The Funayore then use those to lure the living captains of nearby boats to veer off course, normally to their deaths. Some versions have the Funayore being led aboard, preying on the emotions of the unwitting sailors. Once aboard, the ghost will ask for a special tool called a hisyaku that is similar to a ladle. If the request is granted, the Funayore will flip it over and water will begin magically flowing, ceasing only when the boat has taken on too much water. On smaller fishing boats, the Funayore is said to actually use a tool to manually scoop ocean water until the boat sinks. Okay, last one. La Sayona. Another ghost who is said to have descended from one person, the myth of La Sayona, is prevalent in Venezuela and other nearby countries. Originally, a mortal woman named Melissa. She was extremely beautiful and took a loving husband with whom she had a son. As she bathed in the river, a common occurrence, a strange man came up to Melissa and told her that her husband was sleeping with her mother. Gross. Oh. Angered, she stormed back to her house, where she found her husband and son in bed, quietly sleeping. Blind with rage, she burned the house down, killing the two of them. Melissa then went to her mother's house, where she stabbed her to death. But just before she died, her mother cursed her, telling Melissa she would be forced to walk the earth, killing any husbands who were cheating on their own wives. And today, she can be seen as a beautiful woman strolling up and down the hallway to lure men into her grasp. And she sometimes takes the form of a loved one to trick the men and then reveals a rotting skull where her face once was.
Dang.
And that is our list of legendary Mean Girls. What did you think?
It was totally not the list of Mean Girls I thought that just came out in theaters.
No Regina George, huh?
Nope.
That's so fetch. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. I'm sorry it came out kind of late since we had to redo it. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Layer up, drink lots of water, and make good choices.
Bye.
Bye.